The Gemara said that Rav Huna said that Rav Chiya bar Rav darshan the name of Rav, that although the Mishnah says that a shechita done on Shabbos is kosher, the meat would be also to eat until the day after that day, until after Shabbos is over. The Rabbanan who were there explained that this follows of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara has attempted so far unsuccessfully to show which ruling of Rabbi Yehuda this refers to. So Rav Ashi said maybe it refers to the view of Rabbi Yehuda regarding someone who cooks on Shabbos. Bryce says if someone cooked on Shabbos, Rav Meir says if it was done b'shoyeg he can eat it even on Shabbos. If it was done b'mezid, he cannot eat it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says if it was done b'shoyeg he may eat it after Shabbos. If it was done b'mezid, he may never eat the food even after Shabbos. Rabbi Yechon Asandler says if it was done b'shoyeg it can be eaten after Shabbos by others, but not by him. If it was done b'mezid, it may never be eaten by him or anybody else forever. The view of Rabbi Yehuda can be the basis of the ruling of Rav. In fact, tomorrow we can say that our Mishnah is referring to where the Shechita was done on Shabbos and Mezid, and then say that the Mishnah follows the view of Rav Meir. And for tomorrow, the Mishnah says Shabbos and Yom Kippur. This teaches that it means that just as on Yom Kippur one may not eat the meat, whether the animal was shecht b'shoyeg or b'mezid, so too, when it was shechted on Shabbos, it means that he may not eat the meat whether it was done b'shoyeg or b'mezid. This would not follow the view of Rav Meir, so our Mishnah can't be following him. Fractimar Haki said the Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda and is discussing a case of Shoig when the Mishnah says even though he's Chaya Misa, which means that he's discussing a case of Mezid, and for the Gemara, the Mishnah means to say even though had this been done by Mezid, he would be Chaya Misa since it was done by Shoig, the Shechita will be Kosher. Fractimar, why can't we say the Mishnah is following the view of Rabbi Yechonon Asandler who says that Shabbos, just like Yom Kippur, the meat would never be allowed to be eaten, and for the Gemara, Rabbi Yechonon Asandler makes a difference between the person who cooked the meat and the other people, everyone else, with regard to being allowed to eat it after Shabbos. Our Mishnah simply says the Shechita is kosher, which seems to mean that there's no difference between the Shechita and all other people. Zakhan Rabbeisa was told in front of Rav, the Rabbeisa said if someone cooked on Shabbos, if it was done by Shechita, he can eat it, but if it was done by Mezid, he may not eat it. Rav silenced the one who taught this Rabbeisa. Why did he silence him? It can't be because Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbeisa followed Rav Meir, because that wouldn't be enough of a reason to silence the person. Also, we actually learned that Rav Chanan bar Ami said that Rav Paskin in practice like the view of Rav Meir. And for the Gemara of Nachman bar Yitzchak said, the Rabbeisa that was taught was actually not regarding one who cooked, but was instead regarding one who shechted, and said that if it was done by Shechita, he may eat it, but if it was done by Mezid, he may not eat it. Rav said, you think that since our mayor held this way regarding someone who cooked, he would also hold this way regarding someone who shechted on Shabbos? It's not true. However, that's not true because he only holds in this lenient way regarding cooking because the food could be eaten raw. He doesn't hold this way regarding shechita because without shechita, the meat cannot be eaten in any way. For Eklimar, we have said that Rav said that our Mishnah that discusses one who shechted on Shabbos means to make it also only for that day of Shabbos, but the meat would be mutter after Shabbos. This was explained to be following the view of Rabbi Yehuda. This would suggest that Rav Meir would allow the meat to be eaten on Shabbos itself, and for tomorrow, Rav Meir would allow it only in a case where there was a critically ill chayla there from before Shabbos, in which case the meat would not be considered muksa. For Eklimar, if that's the case, why does Rabbi Yehuda say the meat is also? And for the Gemara, the case is that the ill person recovered on Shabbos, and therefore there was no reason to shecht it for him. Still, there's no problem of muktzah. So Gemara weiter, we find there of Acher bar Ya'ado in the name of Rav makes a similar distinction between one who shechts on Shabbos for the benefit of a chayla, in which case it would be usher for a healthy person, and the case of one who cooks on Shabbos for the benefit of a chayla, in which case it would be mutter for a healthy person. He explains that the difference is that food can be eaten before it is cooked, but meat cannot be eaten before it is shechted. Papa says there can be a case where the meat from the animal shechted on Shabbos will be mutter. For example, the chayla was there before Shabbos, so the animal is not muktzah. There can also be a case where the cooked food would be usher. If, for example, he cut a melon off the ground on Shabbos because it was muktzah going into Shabbos. Rav Dima Mandar Paskin, that if one shechts for a chayla on Shabbos, it's mutter for a healthy person to eat the meat raw because the entire shechita was done for the benefit of the chayla, and therefore the extra meat is mutter for anyone. However, if one cooked on Shabbos for a chayla, the food is usher to be eaten by a healthy person. As exer, this would lead someone to cook extra food so that there would be something left over for the healthy person as well. Zok, the next Mishnah, if one shechts with a hand sickle, it's sharp on both sides, with one side being smooth, the other serrated, or with a sharp stone, or with a sharp reed, the shechita is kosher. Mishnah continues, all are shechted, we always shecht, and we shecht with anything, except for a sickle used in harvesting, a saw, teeth that are still attached to the jaw of the animal, or a nail still attached to the animal, because these rip the simonim rather than cut them. Zok, the first clause of Mishnah seems to say that the shechita is valid, b'di'eved, but should not be done l'chatchila. Now, this makes sense for the case of the hand sickle, because we're afraid that he may use the serrated side. However, why can't he use a stone or a reed for the chatchila? In fact, the Braisa clearly says that a stone, a piece of glass, and a reed stem may be used for shechita, even the chatchila. And for the Gemara, the Braisa is discussing when these items were detached from the ground, whereas the Mishnah is discussing where they're still attached to the ground. As we find, the Rav Kahana said if one shechts with something that's still attached to the ground, Rebbe says it's possible. Rav Chiya says it's kosher. Even Rav Chiya says it's only kosher b'di'evet, but not the chatchila. For the Gemara, this means that the Mishnah would follow Rav Chiya and is referring to b'di'evet. However, a Braisa says that one may shecht with these items that are attached to the ground, even the chatchila. Who would that Braisa to follow? Not Rebbe or Rav Chiya. If the Gemara really Rabbi Chiya allows shechting with something that is attached to the ground, even the Chatchila, the reason you argue with Rebbe regarding the case of Bidiyevit is to teach that Rebbe holds it's possible even Bidiyevit. In fact, Gemara, based on this, when our Mishnah says that one may shech with something that's attached to the ground only Bidiyevit, who does our Mishnah follow? It's not Rebbe and it's not Rabbi Chiya. If the Gemara, our Mishnah follows Rebbe. In the Brisa, Rebbe says that a shechita using something attached to the ground is possible even b'di'evit. And according to what we just said in our Mishnah, he holds that it's kosher b'di'evit. And for the Gemara, the Brisa is discussing something that has always been attached to the ground, whereas the Mishnah is discussing something that was attached, was then detached, and was then reattached to the ground, in which case it's kosher b'di'evit. The Gemara says we see this differentiation in a Brisa. The Brisa gives many examples of shechita and mentions that a shechita done with something attached to the ground is kosher, and then says that if it is done with a reed that is attached to the ground, it's possible. It must be that the first case is something that was detached and reattached, and the second case was something that was never detached. And we see there's a difference between these two types of being attached to the ground. In fact, the Brisa says that if someone shechted with a knife that was attached to a wheel, and he spun the wheel and the knife cut the siman of an animal as it spun, it's kosher. However, another Brisa says that it's possible. But the first teretz is the first Brisa is discussing a man-powered wheel, whereas the second Brisa is discussing a water-powered wheel. Second teretz, both are discussing water-powered wheels. But the first Brisa is discussing where the shechita happened from the koyach rishon, the primary force of the person. Second Brisa is discussing where it happened through the koyach sheni, the secondary source.